Did I read that you were the prom king?
Yes, I was. My senior year, I was the prom king at Yorkville, of Yorkville High School.
Did you get a crown?
There was a crown that you don't get to keep. It looked like sort of a classic cartoon crown. It had fake white fur that I think is supposed to be ermine with jewels and then kind of tufted velvet around the top of it. But when they put it on me, I could see from the inside that the base of it was actually a ricotta cheese tub that they had probably gotten from the cafeteria.
Wait, and did you say that you don't get to keep the crown?
No, it's a prop that then they take from you. And
so this ricotta cheese tub was passed down through generations.
For all I know, it could still be going on the heads of prom kings today in Yorkville, Illinois.
When you buy ricotta cheese, do you think of that crown today?
I rarely buy it in, because I mean, this was probably like a gallon tub. Okay. I rarely buy it in such quantity, so I don't think so.
Today on The Sporkful, I'll have brunch with Conan O'Brien's longtime sidekick, Andy Richter. How many of life's problems can be solved by a really nice refrigerator? Andy's trying to find out. And he'll respond to a question from one of you. Plus, the conversation will get more serious when we talk about Andy's lifelong struggles with his weight.
You know, when you feel bad, eating something that tastes good feels like you're fighting and staving off the feeling bad.
That's all coming up. Stick around. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Andy Richter is a comic, actor, and writer. He starred in several network sitcoms and hosts the Food Network show Celebrity Food Fight. But he's best known as Conan O'Brien's sidekick, and I have loved him on that show forever. His persona there alternates between dopey and darkly funny. You hear that dark humor in this comedy bit where Andy recounts the titles of the 18 memoirs he claims to have written.
Then we've got Sidekick to the Curb, the Andy Richter story. Sidetracked, a life less lived. Good one, boss. My life as a TV toady. Fake laughter, real tears. Sidekick's journey.
Okay, Andy, I think we get the idea. Okay.
There's 11 more! Forcing the laugh, hiding the gin bottle.
So that's Andy on Conan. But off the show, he's also thoughtful and smart. In fact, he holds the record for the highest one-day score on Celebrity Jeopardy, and he did very well in the food category.
The name of this pasta, similar to penne, means little mustaches. Andy?
What is mostaccioli?
Correct.
Wolf it down for 2,000, please.
Try some of the chicken cooked in this charcoal-fired oven that's used throughout India. Andy?
What is a tandoor?
Tandoor oven, yes.
Andy and I met up at Patty's Restaurant in Burbank. It's a classic L.A. diner. It's been around since 1960. It was Andy's choice. We should order some food.
Yes, we should.
Yeah.
If you get a... Yes, we're ordering on mic here.
Let's do it.
Andy, lead the way.
I'm going to have a scramble with turkey meat, scallions, and mushrooms.
Sliced turkey?
Ground turkey, I'm sorry. Turkey. Eggs cooked soft, tomatoes instead of potatoes, and corn tortillas.
Could I please have a mushroom omelet with American cheese? For the toast, could I please get an English muffin? And maybe, well, let's get a second toasted English muffin on the side, please.
And it also comes with a side. You want to do hash browns, home fries, fruit, or cottage cheese?
Hash browns or home fries. That's a tough one. I will say hash browns, please.
Okay, that's it?
Yes, yep. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, please.
I figured hash browns, higher surface area to volume ratio, more crisp.
I get the hash browns, and I say burn them.
Yeah.
And if you say well done, it's usually not well done enough for me. I was like, burn them, you know.
That's funny. I got an email from a Sporkful listener who said he's having a real issue with his grandfather because every time they go to a diner, his grandfather orders bacon and he always says, I want it crispy. But what he means by crispy is virtually burnt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like as stiff as bacon, as stiff as a board. Right. So that you bite into it and it crumbles.
Right.
Which is beyond crisp.
Yes.
And so he always says crispy, and then it never comes out the way he wants, and he always has to send it back.
It's complained,
right? And it becomes, and it's this, and so he wrote, this guy wrote to me asking for advice on what word, or what
burnt.
That's what the grandfather should say.
That is in diner lexicon, because they won't burn it.
So shout out to Matt in Portland, Oregon, who wrote in with that question. Andy Richter has addressed your issue, Matt. Thank you.
Order it burnt, Matt.
I read that your mom was a kitchen cabinet designer.
Yes.
Did that affect your own thoughts about kitchen cabinets?
Yes.
Can you tell me about a few of the details that you think are crucial to making your kitchen great?
Oh, well, it could be better. It could be better because we didn't have that much room. We have a very nice refrigerator. That's the main thing. The refrigerator we have, it's a Sub-Zero refrigerator that's... I think it's sort of meant to be like a prosumer.
Right.
But what I like about it is that it's all metal and glass, so there's no, like, plastic shelves to crack. And our accountant, when I bought it, really was completely... He's like, how much does this refrigerator cost? And I told him at the time, I said, look, I am never going to buy a Porsche. I promise you. This, if I have a midlife crisis, it is this refrigerator, which will last us forever. So just let me have this. Let me have this nice refrigerator.
And so you've had this fridge for a couple of years. Has it brought you all the joy you anticipated?
Absolutely. Yes. It has, and it has glass doors so you can see inside it, which is, you know, kind of, so like I say, it's kind of like a commercial refrigerator.
And is the idea that you like, when you're in the mood to stand and stare blankly into your refrigerator, when you're in a point in life when you don't know what you want from life?
The idea is that it has a commercial aesthetic. But the idea of the commercial aesthetic is that rather than standing there with the door open looking for what you want, you can look for what you want in a energy-saving way. So you're not letting all the cold out while you're going, where is that GD mustard, you know?
Right, right. But, like, you ever have one of those days where you're just kind of, you just don't really know what you want from your refrigerator or life?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
And you kind of like, you're shuffling around the house.
Yeah.
You open the refrigerator and you stare into it. And then you close it and you walk away. And
it's
then
a contemplative kind of,
Right. How does having a refrigerator that you don't have to open the door to see inside, how does it change those contemplative refrigerator moments?
It doesn't. We end up standing there with the door open, wasting energy just like any other. You know, you can't have a barrier between you and your unmet needs. Even if it's glass.
Right. I know you've talked about some of your own battles with depression.
Yes.
I'm curious how food plays into that. I mean, when you're having an especially rough time, does that tend to mean that you eat more or less? Are there
signals? More, definitely. Yeah, no, there's the way that my depression throughout my life has manifested itself, and it's fairly under control now. Through medication and therapy and just time, I guess. But it would manifest itself as food would definitely be almost like a kind of self-medication of comfort. You know, when you feel bad, eating something that tastes good feels like you're fighting and staving off the feeling bad. So it was a... You know, it set up a pattern, certainly, of overeating and of eating, you know, really serving some kind of psychological need. So, yeah, no, I would have killed for, like, I'm so depressed I can't eat. I mean, if I could have bought that, if I bought that now, I could, right. I'd get off the medication right now and just waste away to nothing, leave a beautiful corpse.
A Coming up, my conversation with Andy Richter continues. We'll discuss his lifelong issues with his weight and whether the people who raised him are at all to blame. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. Next week on the show, I'm going to go out for halal barbecue with writer Taz Ahmed, co-host of the podcast Good Muslim, Bad Muslim. We're going to call that episode A Very Halal Valentine's Day.
The weird thing about dating as a Muslim is that once a guy starts liking you, they'll start picking up Muslim-y habits. So, like, I actually was dating someone that decided to stop eating pork. Like, what are you trying to do? I dated someone whose beard got longer. And you're just like, what is happening here?
You're like, I already have enough trouble getting on an airplane. I don't need you getting pulled
right,
out of security,
exactly.
Too.
It's like, come on. One of us has to not look so Muslim-y.
Right.
Otherwise, we're not going to be able to get anywhere.
Right. That's next week. Now, let's get back to Patty's restaurant in L.A., where I was having brunch with Andy Richter. Our food's here. He got his egg scramble. He put some of the eggs into the corn tortillas, which was a pro move. I went with my classic diner maneuver. I got the omelet, cut it in half the short way, and put each half into a toasted English muffin, two egg sandwiches. Sometimes if I'm feeling really ambitious, I'll flip the omelet inside out so the cheese is on the outside, and that fuses it to the top and bottom bread and also brings cheese down to the bottom layer, closer to your tongue to accentuate cheesy goodness, as longtime listeners well know. I didn't do it this time because I was focused on the conversation with Andy, but, you know, just thought I'd mention that for the children. Anyway, as we ate, Andy talked about struggling with his weight. On Conan, he sometimes pokes fun at himself, like he'll gesture to his stomach and say, "My six-pack is insulated to keep it cold." And his weight can add an unspoken component to some comedy bits, like one where he walked around in skinny jeans for a day. But you can tell it's a sensitive subject for him. In this clip, Conan's talking with comedian Chelsea Handler. After she asks Conan a question, she turns to Andy.
Do you go in the water or the ocean a lot?
Yes.
Some people hate the ocean.
No, I like the ocean.
I
do. I like the ocean very much.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Do you float a lot in the ocean?
Sure. What, do you sink? Might be that cast iron heart.
I try to be good. I mean, I'm 50 years old and need to lose weight, and I try to be good, especially like after. Well, the nighttime is really the killer for me, and I think for so many people. It's just, I think I'm just looking for me, it's like a cookie. It's something crunchy and sweet, and I know I shouldn't, you know, I'll try to settle for an apple if I had learned better self-control and learned better nutritional information when I was younger, or learned to, have a better attitude about exercise. My grandmother, one time, we went out, we were shopping at Marshall Field's, and we stopped for kind of like an old lady tea. She had tea and something, a sandwich or something, and I had a little hot fudge sundae. And when we were done, she said, "Does it taste like more?" Like basically giving me permission to order a second hot fudge sundae, which I did. And I, even at the time, I had this feeling, and I was probably maybe 7, maybe 6. Even at the time, I felt like, I don't know about this. This doesn't seem right. I think this is not what she should be doing or what I should be doing. To me, it was really indicative of throwing caution to the wind and just saying, like, I deserve this comfort that actually will potentially harm me, you know,
right.
That is really, truly an overindulgence and just not healthy. At a certain point, I got to take some responsibility for myself. I mean, there's all the programming in the world, but when you're a grown-up, you you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember when I was a kid going out one time with a friend's family for Chinese food. It was like a friend of mine and his parents. I was a chubby kid, and I ate a bunch at that meal. I remember getting to a point in the meal where, like, pretty much everyone had eaten what they wanted to eat, and there was still some food on the table. And I loved mushu pork at the time. That was my favorite food in the world. The mother said, like, is everyone done? Like, Dan, are you done? And I just said, maybe I'll have one more mushu pork roll. And I wasn't really hungry, but I just, like, wanted to keep eating. And I remember in that moment that the mother looked at the father, and they gave each other a look like, whoa,
yeah,
this kid eats a lot. I can't believe he's going to have another one.
Right.
And I remember feeling really bad seeing them have that look between each other. But then I also remember thinking, well, now if I bail on eating that mushu pork roll, then it's like...
You might make them feel bad for making you feel bad.
Well, maybe. Or maybe more the thought process was, I don't want to admit that there's something wrong with me eating this.
Yeah.
So if I just plow ahead like everything's okay...
Right. You won't be agreeing with them, with
right.
their alarm.
Right. And now it's hard because I have kids, and sometimes, you know, I don't know if you find this with your kids. It's like, sometimes your kids... Well, I mean, sometimes kids eat a lot, or you want to, you know, you want to indulge your kids and give them
right.
a treat. But that now, you know, it's like you're conflicted between... not wanting to make too big a deal of it, of eating food, but then also not wanting to teach them bad habits.
Right.
Is that something you
absolutely,
struggle
with? Absolutely. And it's something that I think there's a much more of an awareness about in our household than the household I grew up in. And we do try, we talk a lot about healthy eating habits. I will sometimes say, you know, I will express the regret that I feel for not having practiced healthier eating habits throughout my life. Like you said, you try and find a balance. You don't want to make things too heavy. You always have to, you're always searching the kind of perfect light touch, you know, because you don't want to tell your kids, if you eat too much of that, you'll get fat and no one will want to love you, you know. But you do, so you want...
Wait, hang on, let me make a note. Don't say that. Okay, got it, okay. Has being a parent and having to steer your kids on some of these issues changed at all the way you feel about your grandmother letting you order that second Sunday?
No, I was aware well before I had children that was not such a great MO.
Right. But it hasn't given you any more, like, empathy for her? You know, when you love somebody a lot and you just want, like, you get carried away with a moment and you just want them to have whatever they want.
Yeah, but that's not what taking care of a child is. That's not, you know, you can't be all accelerator when you're taking care of a child. You're when you drive, you use accelerator and brake. And when you're loving a child and raising a child and teaching a child how to be a good human being and a good citizen, you're going to use accelerator and brake. And there wasn't a lot of brakes, you know? There wasn't a lot of brakes. And when there were brakes, a lot of them were kind of like, you know, more Bible-related, which, you know, then you... That's a different podcast.
Yeah, maybe in the sequel.
Yeah.
I get the perspective of, like, I'm an adult, I need to take responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, but also there's, you know, to some degree, you're fighting DNA.
Yes and no. And I certainly don't loathe myself. I'm not in, like, a constant state of self-hatred. I'm pretty comfortable with myself. I like myself. But I do know what's healthy and what's not healthy. And I, like I say, it doesn't torment me. I don't, you know, Kate Moss saying... nothing tastes as good as skinny feels is, I have no way to relate to that. I mean, and I, at one point in my life, shortly after I got married, my wife and I both went on a really strict diet plan and lost a lot of weight. That was me at my skinniest. And I still have no idea what Kate Moss is talking about. I have the notion that somehow, and I mean, I liked being as thin as I could be. But I still knew like how good a cheeseburger was.
Right.
and thought like it was a toss up. And obviously over time the cheeseburger won. Right.
That's Andy Richter. Catch him and Conan on TBS weeknights at 11, 10 Central. Next week, a very halal Valentine's Day with Taz Ahmed. Please make sure you connect with the show online, facebook.com/sporkful, or on Twitter and Instagram @TheSporkful. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Shoshana Gold, and me. Editing help from Dan Charles. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann and to all the nice folks at Patty's Restaurant in Burbank. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Kate Crehan from Richmond, Virginia, reminding you to eat more, eat better, eat more better.